Hey, this is Todd. So I wrapped up the main hex crawling video, or the next video in the hex crawl series. Really, it's applicable to a bunch of stuff. I tried to keep it somewhat focused on hex crawling, though, and that one's going to be on managing player character powers, specifically ranger powers, or the ranger, the revised ranger who has that ability to never get lost. And then I also talk about Goodberry, the druid spell, and the cleric create food and water spells, and I just go into a little bit of, okay, what impact do these spells have? What do they really mean? How do we read them? How can we adjust maybe our expectations a little bit, and how can we integrate them into hex crawling without simply negating them? Which I think is a big problem, but seems to be a lot of GMs, their first impulse is to, well, this is not working, or I don't like the way this does this trial, so let me figure out a way to negate it, whether it's simply nerfing the ability itself, or suddenly put the party in, ooh, a weird atmosphere where suddenly Goodberry it rots before you can eat it, and what, all that kind of stuff. So I go into that, and that'll be coming up soon. You'll know that's the video, because besides everything else, I will be wearing the same shirt. In other news, I had my daughter's stepping up ceremony from pre-K that I went to yesterday morning. It's always kind of cute to see the kids doing their thing. It was kind of their graduation to kindergarten. And of course, since I always have gaming stuff in my mind, I was thinking about, you know, this is kind of that milestone event, right? In 5th edition, we have milestones that you can use instead of experience points, and a lot of people really like milestones, and so here you go, they're graduating from kindergarten, that's that kind of milestone event, everybody in a sense levels up. But then you see some of the kids, and you see that some kids maybe have already really reached this milestone earlier, and some kids maybe haven't reached it yet. But the milestones don't care about any of that. They just hear that you've crossed this line and then you get it. And it really made me think more about how I really don't care for milestones as they are. I know that everyone loves them, but it irritates me to no end when I'm on somewhere like Reddit and someone has an experience points question and one of the comments will be like, well, go use milestones. And look, I get it. If you're running a really linear style narrative campaign, milestones can be great because you're following the story beats and each beat you give out a milestone and everybody levels, and that's fine. I get that. But there's a lot of lack of nuance with milestones. And there's a lot of, I feel like, drawbacks because they're not flexible at all. I also feel like you get in this weird spot where, in which with milestones, almost as a player, you're coming into it like, I have to appease the GM to get this milestone, right? I know that the story point is over here, that milestone point, or at least I assume it is, because let's face it, milestones is very opaque. I don't know out in the world how most GMs run it, but it seems to be one of those things where you get the milestone kind of when the GM feels like giving it to you. And maybe it's obvious that, hey, we get to the bottom of the dungeon, we defeat the Goblin King, and we'll get our milestone, but you don't know it necessarily. I do think that if you're going to use milestones, you should definitely be very upfront about this is what is going to be your milestone. Okay, you're going into this place, your goal is to defeat the Goblin King. Defeating the Goblin King, you'll level up, that's your milestone. I feel strongly that it should be upfront, but I think in a lot of cases it's not, and it's just sort of, you kind of just do your due, and then, oh, milestone, great, you get it. And that doesn't appeal to me, because I think that, one, in a sense, they should be mechanical, and away from GM fiat. Story goal is a GM fiat thing. I'm setting this story, and then you have to do it. That's totally in my mind, so that you have to kind of figure out where my mind is and try to accomplish what you think that I want you to accomplish to get that goal. And to me, that shouldn't be really the relationship with experience. I liked, back in the day, experience for loot. It was essentially independent of me as a GM. As a player, you knew exactly what it was, and you could decide how you want to get it. You could try to go into easy spaces where you can get it in dribs and drabs, do that, and you can decide to be more daring and go into harder places and do that. And before somebody says, well, oh yeah, it's DM fiat too, because you can mess around with treasure, it's like, yes, you can DM fiat anything. There's nothing in the game that is beyond DM fiating if you want to do it. However, there were guidelines and mechanics and a lot of things that were put in place to kind of tell you how you should be running treasure. Much like everything else in the game, if you follow the rules and you follow these guidelines, then essentially it's beyond GM fiat, because I'm rolling on the treasure tables. I'm putting where there's a lair, there's the chance for loot, and I roll it up and it all comes out, and it at that point, it is kind of beyond me in many senses. And yes, I can still try to manipulate it through, well, it's not, you're never going to find the lair, or I'm going to cross that stuff out. But it's not dependent on GM fiat. You can run it without GM fiat. You cannot run milestones without GM fiat, because I, as the GM, am deciding what the milestone is. There's nothing independent of me to say what a milestone is and what it's not. So there's no way to run it without GM Fiat, and I don't like that. Because as a player, it's teaching me to play in a weird way where I'm not necessarily playing for what I want to do as a player or even playing what my character wants to do. I'm kind of playing what the GM wants me to do, which I think is this weird relationship. And it also, I think, bleeds into another aspect, which is I often see online about GMs who say, oh, I need to give my players... This player expresses interest in a two-handed flaming greatsword. How do I... Now I need to give it to them. And my thing is, why do you need to give it to them at all? I don't want to train the players to think that they're going to say something and then it's going to appear magically in the next chest that they discover in a dungeon. What I want is I want players to say, I want a two-handed great flaming greatsword. How do I get it? What can I do in the fiction to get towards that goal? So maybe I'm in the village and I think about, hey, you know, I ask somebody, hey, you, old one-eyed Pete, what stories have you heard about swords of legend? And then I, as a GM, will say, okay, well, maybe there is a legend. I'll roll some dice. I'll do something. Oh, yeah, there was a flaming greatsword at one time, and it's out here. And, you know, it was, you know, Ulrich the three-handed had it. But he disappeared long ago in the last battle with the troglodytes and the, you know, in the bogs of eternal stench. And then, okay, now suddenly I've created actionable items, and now this PC can actually go out and try to get it. If they want it, they go get it. And I will enable everything in my power, which is pretty much everything. I will enable them and give them everything to go out and get it, but I'm not gifting it to you. You want it, go get it. And that's the attitude I want to instill. You want to get levels, you want to get more powerful, you go and you do that, you get that. And I'll put all the tools out there for you, but I want you to have that force of will, that drive to go out and get it. And I want you to have that drive to go out and get that two-handed flaming greatsword that you want. You figure it out. Find the dwarven smith who can make it for you. Find the tomb of Ulrich three-handed who may have it with them. Whatever it is, you find and do it, and I will create it, and I will allow, you know, I will do everything I can to enable you and allow you to try to get it. But you end up with the milestones, this other thing, this weird kind of situation where it's like some kind of a weird exchange is happening where I'm saying as a GM, okay, you play my story and you'll get these milestones, and then I'll hand you, you know, loot and things when you've expressed interest to it, which to me, it just takes me, on some level, it kind of takes me out of the game. I would hate to be in a game and maybe I'm just talking to other players. And I'm saying, oh man, I'd really love to get a bow with flaming arrows. And then the next chest, the bow with flaming arrows appears. I would kind of feel like on the one hand, well, I guess that's cool, but like, I'm not even going to feel like I really earned it. I'm just going to feel like, okay, well, I just said it and it happened, which I guess for a certain type of game, maybe that's just not my style. And obviously with all this stuff, hey, I totally get it. Maybe your style, maybe the style that you love, it's not for me, but I would feel like, man, it's a little bit cheap. I want to find it. I want to go get it. I'll go fight the mad wood elf of, you know, the cursed glade who's got one, and let's go get it. You know, and if I don't have that attitude, if I'm a new player and I'm not sure what's going on, that's what I want to try to instill in new players. I want to instill in them that here's this world. You go out and you know, grab it in your hands and make it your own. Don't sit back and go, oh, well, I really would like one of those, and then expect me to dump it in your lap. And for me as a GM, don't do something in the world because you feel like that's what I want. Oh, well, I really don't want to get the Goblin King. I'd really like to go get that Flaming Broadsword, but I know that that's where the milestone is, so let's go do it. That's not the attitude I want. And I'm sure there are other ways to play milestones. And look, I'm sure that I'm painting it in a broad brush, and milestones are amazing. And I agree, I think for certain situations, they simplify things. But when you look at experience points, it's, yes, it's big numbers. But you can take away those numbers if you want to. I think to a certain point when they get up in the thousands and hundred thousands, there's a certain point where it's kind of cool, like a high score of a video game. You can play a video game like an old school video game like Pac-Man, and the high score could be like, hey, high score, 20. But like, that's just like 20? And oh, okay, because you're only going to get a point, you know, every 10 levels. So 20 is really good, but it just didn't seem very impressive. But 20,000, okay, now we're talking. That sounds good. That looks good. And obviously the numbers give you more degradations in between, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'm sure at some point it gets out of hand. We're looking at millions of experience points. So of course, you know, there's a lot of things that enter into it. But the overall point is that experience points are flexible. You can give out experience points for all sorts of things. Now, I will say that you run into the milestone issue. Some people will say, oh, yeah, you give experience points for role-playing. You can. And I'm not necessarily totally against it, but how is that mechanized? How is that taken away from fiat? Because telling me experience points for role-playing is a lot like saying experience points for doing what I want you to do, which essentially is the milestone method. So if you're going to say experience points for role-playing, how is that independent of me deciding that's good role-playing, that's not good role-playing? You get experience points for that, you don't get for that one. Ultimately, as a GM, I don't want to have to make those decisions. I think part of the old school approach, this approach that I like as a GM, is when I can be as much or not just the adjudicator. I'm the referee. I just want to make sure everybody's following the rules the way we've established as a table and just tick off for this, tick out for that, and go. I don't want to have to make a decision of, hey, you're great and you're not so great, right? I don't want that to be the main source of the experience. So when you're looking at getting experience points, I don't want to have to make that choice. Speed for gold is good because I can follow the guidelines that are there for running loot, and then it just takes care of itself. You go in the dungeons, I'll roll for what loot's there, you bring that loot back, you convert those gold pieces to experience points, I'm done. And there's a lot of interesting things that come from that. One that I do like, and I've used myself, is experience points for hexes explored. So what I will do is I'll say, okay, to explore a hex, you have to move through it. It can't have roads. You can't be just going along a King's Road. Essentially, it's got to be wilderness hex, really wilderness. If you travel through it or you spend the day in there, I'll give you a couple experience points for each 6-mile hex. And that's another thing you can do. And of course, what does that do? That fosters people wanting to get and explore, because that's in some ways a really easy way of getting experience. You don't even necessarily have to fight anything or trick anything or do anything. You know, the wilderness can be an extremely dangerous place, don't get me wrong, but per experience point, it's easier than going to get loot. Now, of course, the flip side is you're only getting a few experience points for 6-mile hexes. So unless you're going to be trekking across the globe, you're not going to be doing a lot of leveling up of experience points. And it takes a long time. So it takes half a day's travel, let's say, minimum to get through a hex. You're only getting, if you just beeline across hexes and you only choose, you know, the easiest hexes for you to do, like plains that are very easy to march across, you're only getting a pittance of hex points per day. So you're drawing on a lot of resources, you're potentially running into big encounters, because in the wilderness, the way I play it, you're not just running into a handful of orcs, you could be potentially running into hundreds of orcs. The amount of danger at any given time is much lower than a dungeon, but when you do run into danger, it could be a very high level of danger, and it takes a long time to do it. So it's not a replacement for going after loot, but it flavors the campaign. If I'm doing a campaign of exploring, and that's what they are, they're explorers going into the unknown, then rewarding them for doing that exploring is something I want to do, and it's separate from me. It's not fiat. It's not based on what I think or what I don't think. If it's a hex, they haven't been there before, they trailblaze through it, that's experience done. It's mechanically established. It's not my opinion or not about that hex, and that's what I want. So I would say if you're looking at XP, and you're looking at XP for different methods, try to pick the ones that don't put you in the equation, because then there's never going to be any, you know, what happens is that, like, I saw this on Reddit the other day, or I think it was yesterday, you know, disagreements with the GM, or maybe it was on Facebook, whatever, it's not important, the disagreements between the player and the GM, and that kind of GM trust of GMs doing things and the players not really trusting that the GM is sort of playing fairly, and so they start to question everything. And all these different times where you base stuff on fiat, you make things really based upon that trust issue. It's fine when everybody does trust you and everything's going well. It can start to fall apart when you don't have that trust, or you start to lose that trust, or you start to abuse the things that trust allows you to do. And it's the same thing with experience points as it would be with anything. When everything's rolling and everyone's expectations are in the same place, and you're doing a fiat-based experience system, it worked great. It works fine. Everybody's on the same page. But what happens when you and the players are not necessarily on the same page, or there's some, you know, conflict there? Then suddenly it's really difficult, and it's hard to moderate, because, well, how do you say to someone, yes, this is the story goal, no, this is not the story goal, right? How do you do that? If it's experience points, I can say, well, look, this is 200 gold pieces, where that turns into 200 gold pieces, or experience points. So what do you want? I rolled on the tables and that's it. Like, I can say, which I love to do as a GM, it's like, it wasn't me, it was a dice. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, the Hydra's treasure, it just was not what you thought. Somebody else must have beat you to it and snuck in and gotten it before you did. Sorry, it wasn't me. But if it's all based on fiat, I can't say it wasn't me. I can't say it was the system. I have to then have to take responsibility for that. It becomes yet another responsibility on my shoulders. Oh gosh, this is why I have to try to explain it. Now, when this came up on Facebook or Reddit or whatever, it wasn't about experience points. It was about playing around with the numbers in encounter. Oh, well, these goblins had armor class 12. Then they run to another pack of goblins. They suddenly have armor class 14. Or, you know, the orcs, you know, could hit our armor, could, you know, a damage a character when they rolled 18s before. Now they only have to roll 16s, and they're doing it. And of course, if you don't explain these things, if you don't say, show in your, when you're describing everything, that these are more heavily armored, clearly better trained, elite orc warriors, I don't blame a player for going, why am I suddenly not being able to hit them as well? And why are they hitting me easier? Because as players, you know that GMs will sometimes fudge the numbers because they want to get the encounter where they want to. And sometimes that's adding hit points. Sometimes it's slightly making them harder to hit or slightly making you easier to hit because they want to get that better challenge out of it. But you know what? That stuff is visible to the players. They will notice. I used to hit on 16s. I was rolling it. Now I got to roll 17s. You're doing that over an encounter. You're going to notice. And you're going to think like, huh, these look like the exact same goblins we just fought. Why are they suddenly harder to hit? That sort of things come up. And these are all things, and again, with milestones or whatever, that you're putting this responsibility that you have to have that trust so they know that you're kind of playing it fair and square. You're sort of looking out for them in a sense when you're playing it. And a lot of DMs just take that for granted. And like, oh, you just tell them, you know, don't worry about it, or it's not your problem, or you know, this or that. And like, that's not fair. I don't think that's ever fair to be able to, you should be able to explain it. If it's a milestone and it seems clearly a milestone, you went in the dungeon, they defeated the Goblin King and they're waiting for that, and you say, hey, milestone, you level up, and you don't, I think it's a fair question for the players to say, hey, wasn't that a milestone? And I think it's a fair question if you've got two sets of goblins and they pretty much seem identical and one set's harder to hit than the other one and one of them hits easier than the other one, if the players go, why were these goblins harder to hit? Because it's not just a mechanical thing of this is harder than the other one. It has to do with that consistency in the world. Goblins should be goblins. You should be able to look at the goblin and have an understanding about them. If you look at those goblins and you think, yeah, we could take care of them easily because I kind of have an idea of how powerful they are, and then there's something else and there's no explanation given for that, that's a problem because now my worldview, I start to wonder, well, what am I looking at? What am I being told? And the same thing with milestones. It's, well, what am I doing? I thought I was doing this thing to get it, and now you're kind of moving the goalposts. And because it's opaque anyway, in the sense that you don't have to say what the goals actually are, it even adds another level on top of that where you're just kind of like, you're thinking about it. I think I know what the milestone is. And then you get there and it's not there. And it just kind of leaves you with this like, okay, well, I guess it's not there. And there's no reason for it. And it's only now because the GM says so. And that's not fun. I don't want to play a game where I have to rely a lot on because I said so as the answer for everything. And I should hope that as a GM, I could provide a better explanation. No, you understand these are, I'm sorry, these orcs, I should have explained up front. My apologies, they're more heavily armored. The other orcs are wearing essentially hide armor. These orcs are wearing half plate. They've got better weapons, and they clearly, looking at them coming in, they're much better trained. Their weapons are in much better repair, and they're just highly organized. That's all you need. Now that tells me, okay, these are a better set of orcs. And then if it's milestones, well, the milestone is really to rescue the princess. You defeat the Goblin King, but the princess was taken somewhere else, so that was your milestone. So you didn't make it. And just to finish up on milestones, that's another thing, is there's no half a milestone. You know, if it's XP for loot, you can get a whole bunch of loot, and then maybe you just need a little bit to level up. Milestones is all or nothing. So what do you do with a situation in which they kind of succeeded or kind of didn't? Do you just reward them with the milestone anyway? Maybe even though technically the milestone you had in your mind was rescue the princess, defeat the Goblin King. But what if they only rescued the princess and the Goblin King's still at large? Or what if they defeated the Goblin King, but he had already sent the princess on to the Goblin Emperor? What do I do with that? I can't give them half a milestone, so do I give them the milestone now but make the next one longer? What do I do? And again, I'm sure there are answers to it, but I feel like there's a lot of stuff in milestones that's not as flexible as I would like, and I really don't favor it. And I remember I did a video a long time ago, on I don't know how long ago actually, but on milestones versus experience points, and I tried to be very diplomatic about that one because I wasn't trying to be to say my opinion that I go back to XP. You know, you millennial punks go back to XP like me and my old friends did. I'm not into that, but I will say that, you know, in this video, and I'm talking more of my actual opinion, I really kind of appreciate XP, and I think having looked at milestones and dealt with them a little bit, there's too much that I miss about the flexibility that experience points gives me to really want to use milestones. But that said, if you have used milestones to great effect and you can give me some tips and pointers and other things, or how you avoid some of the issues with milestones that I talked about, or how, you know, there's some other strengths of milestones that I've missed, you know, let me know. I mean, I will say it grinds on my last nerve when I see someone asking some question about experience points and posters just want to send them to milestones. And look, as much as you may like milestones, they're not for everybody. You don't have to send them to milestones. It's not the cure-all. There's plenty of good things to do with experience points. And frankly, there's things with experience points that, at least as I've seen with milestones, that it's just not possible. So go XP, XP for gold, old school rules. Thanks for watching. I'll talk to you later.